time to recap the McCook School Board of Education meeting for the month of April. It's already here. Superintendent of Schools, Grant Norgaard, how you doing?
Doing very well, Rich. Thank you.
One more month.
Yes, we don't have a whole lot of time left. That's unfortunate. But we're going to pack as much as we possibly can into the last month of the year.
Mr. Norgaard is still pushing to get year-round school, aren't you?
And we don't need weekends. Just kidding, obviously.
But yeah, it's closing here pretty fast, darn fast.
It is coming up. Every year that I grow in age, it seems like the years go faster and faster. And this year was no exception to that rule.
You don't have to tell me that, because I'm a lot right there along with you.
It just goes quick.
The years go roll along. Let's recap the agenda for last night. McCook School Board of Education will start first. Reports, communications, public participation.
We didn't have any public comments last night, but we did start off the meeting with two presentations. We had two groups come in. The first group that presented to the Board of Education were a couple of students from the junior high who qualified and participated in the state science fair. And that was a really neat event that was held. And we're really proud of our kids. We had Trev Weimers and Savannah McCarty both competed in that event. And last night, for the Board of Education, they presented their projects to the board. Trev's was focused on different types of tennis racket grips, which is kind of sounds interesting. I've not seen that science project ever before. And really what he was looking at is, based on the type of grip that you have and how you hold the tennis racket, how does that really influence the ball's flight, such as speed, spin, those types of things. So he did a number of assessments. He went to Kearney to do some of the testing. They used probably like a speed gun type of tool to measure the speed of the ball. And through that process, he was able to kind of identify how different grips affect the ball and which grips were better for speed, which grips were better for spin. And he did a nice job presenting that to the Board of Education last night and actually answering some questions. So I think that Trev took something he was really interested in and then turned it in, which is tennis. He's been playing it since, I think he said five or six years old, and took that and turned it into a science project that really helped him to work through the whole scientific process from hypothesis to data collection to data analysis to conclusion. And so really impressed with Trev's project. And then Savannah McCarty also had a science project, same steps. You know, you come up with a hypothesis. You do data collection. You design the experiment. You collect the data on the experiment. You analyze that data, and you come up with a conclusion. And hers was focused on memory retention and recall. And what she wanted to know specifically is there a difference between the memory retention of someone that's older or an adult or those that are younger, teenagers, basically? And so I think she said the range for the adults was like 25 to 60, and then the teenagers were all right about 8th grade level, so you're talking 13, 14, 15-year-olds. There might have been some older kids mixed in there as well that participated. And what she found, what her hypothesis was that because adults have better REM sleep, which is when we sleep, we go through a process called REM, and that's when our brain actually organizes and sorts information and kind of stores it for long-term memory. Older brains actually do a better job with that, her hypothesis was that the adults would have a little bit better memory and recall. And her results, her testing actually showed that to be the case. And I was a little bit surprised by that. You know, I often lament the fact that my brain isn't young anymore, and I know that I'm probably on the other end of that REM piece where it's really doing a great job storing, but it seems that most of the adults in that test did really well, and it was really close. The one thing she said was the adults had a bigger range, like so they had some that just didn't do very well at all, and some did exceptional, where the kids were all pretty much, they did really well, but not necessarily at that exceptional level just yet. So anyway, there's a lot to the brain. It's really, the brain is an amazing organ in our bodies. And so I really appreciate that you did a study with that. So those two kids, really proud of them, did a great job. We had we had 18 or so students from the junior high. We had a local science fair, then there was a regional science fair, and there's a state. We had, I think, 18 other students attend other science fairs, or maybe it was 36. Two groups of 18 went to two other types of science fairs, or more specific to the topic. So, and Mr. Degnan was the classroom teacher who had those kids involved in that. So we really appreciate Mr. Degnan's work with those kids. Then we had three students present from our industrial tech program, our CTE, our career and technical education programs at the high school. Now, of course, CTE and industrial tech with Mr. Jedlicki, these were his students. He works with junior high students as well, because his classroom's in junior high building, but our high school students go over there to take the class. We had Cannon Hosick, Lexi Wheelbarger, and Preston Donovan all presented their projects. Amazing projects. One of the things I was most impressed with was the precision of the work that these kids put into their woods projects. All of the projects involve multiple types of materials, but the main material that they used was, or medium they used, was wood. And so Cannon presented a portable pedestal mount for a deer head, and it was really cool. So, you know, normally you see a deer head mounted on your wall. Well, this was a pedestal that he had designed and built that you could actually mount that head to the pedestal itself, and then you could add like an arrangement almost of grasses and those types of things to try to put it like in a natural setting. And so he talked to the board about how it was made. All the students talked to the board about how they made their projects, the measurement, the cutting that went into it, and his use of the CNC router, which is a new product that we had to help create the structure, the support structure to the pedestal itself, which was new to me. I'd seen a lot of the CNC work that has been done by our students, but I'd never seen anything where it had been, and I'm sure it's done multiple times. This is just the first time that I'd seen it, where they actually used it to create a support structure, which I thought was really pretty fascinating for me. And probably in the construction world, that might be how it's used most often. Lexi Wheelbarger had presented a table to the Board of Education. she used the CNC router too. She also used our computerized lathe to create the post for the table. What was really interesting about her table was that she had put an inlay on the top of the table. So on the very top surface of the table, she'd routed out with the CNC router, sort of a groove, and put spent shells in it, spent rifle shells, like .223 shells and other shells that she had shot herself, and then filled that in with a resin. So it kind of gave this really neat, three-dimensional perspective to the table. It was three-dimensional, although you can't get in, obviously, that resin hardens and creates a very smooth and shiny surface. And so that was a really neat project too. The lathe she used, she actually had the lathe lathe out for the table post was in the shape of a bullet. Now these spent shells obviously weren't full bullets; they had been spent. So great, amazing project. And one of the things that was really interesting also about hers and Donovan's, who I'm going to talk about here in a second, is that just they both used that acrylic and the process they have to go to shine that up. It's starting with a very high grit sandpaper and then working your way down. I think they said 2,000 grit, which is a very, very fine sandpaper to get this brilliant polish onto that acrylic. Preston presented a coffee table that was very, very intricate. He had cut out a number of hexagonal shaped pieces of wood and then arranged those with spaces in between them into a rectangular shape, kind of like it's a coffee table, really. And then he used the epoxy, the acrylic epoxy, to fill in the gaps between the two and then create a surface that, again, he shined up. He also had, once it was all done, he had all the wood in place and the epoxy on it. He actually used the CNC router to etch out his name, Donovan, and the surface, and then epoxy was used to fill that in. It was a brilliant-looking coffee table. It's actually quite amazing. And then also, to our surprise, he opens up two drawers that are on each side that are dovetailed, worked drawers that were self-closing. It was quite a project. And so all three of these kids definitely had, young people had some very impressive work that they've done. And very proud of Mr. Jalicki and Mr. Sugar, who works with these kids as well, and our industrial arts program. And we have some great equipment. One of the things all the kids said that they would encourage all our freshmen coming into the high school to continue to work in this area. One of the problems we run into, and we've been trying to hire an additional industrial tech teacher to grow our CTE, our career and technical education programs. We've had some difficulty finding someone. So these teachers, once they have a degree, they are hired immediately. Everybody wants to hire industrial technology teachers and agricultural teachers because of what they bring to the school system and when it comes to careers. And schools that at one time didn't have these types of programs are now adding them, which makes it even more and more difficult for schools like McCook and other schools across the state to go and get those folks to come into our districts. But we're working on it. And so hopefully in the next, maybe before the end of the year or maybe next year, we'll be able to bring on another teacher so that we can offer more courses in this area to really build these skills that are skills that they design these great things for themselves. But these are real skills that kids can transfer into the workplace, the work environment after they graduate. So
pretty cool.
Pretty
cool presentations last night, huh?
Very impressive.
Yeah.
Kids doing great work and our teachers doing great work as well.
That's good. That's great. All right. We're on to student board member reports.
No report last night.
Consent agenda, minutes, expenditures, payroll, administrators, written reports, anything?
Nothing new, nothing to report there. Everything was passed and moved on.
Reports from staff members and committees.
Yeah, I'll go with, we had two committees that presented last night. We had the policy committee was first, so I'll just say that for the next several months, we're going to hear a little bit about what the policy committee is doing. We're in the process of overhauling, basically, our policies. We've contacted our school attorneys, and we've been working with them to make sure what we want to make sure we do is we have all the policies we really, really need, and that they're legal, and that they meet the requirements of all the state statutes that have been passed over the last half century, and just make sure everything we have is good. And so we just finished that first battery of policies, the 1000s, and those are later on in the agenda. And we discussed each of these policies in policy committee during the month. And our policy chair, Mr. Bredvick, just talked about the discussions that took place and what the policies covered. This one was with public relations, this section of our policy manual. Next month, we'll be looking at two sections to our policy manual. So our policy committee is going to be doing a lot of work this summer, but it's important. What we really want to do is try to have all of our policies updated and ready to go for the 24-25 school year. And so that's going to be, it's going to take a little bit of work, but I think we can get it done. We're just going to have to be really focused and have very efficient and effective meetings. But it's time for our policies to get a nice overhaul and a real close examination, make sure they're saying what they need to say and what we want them to say. After that, we had an activities committee meeting. One of the things that We talked about several things during that meeting. The focus of the meeting was to discuss the potential addition of a bowling, an NSAA event to McCook High School. Bowling is a new NSAA event that's just been recently added. I think this might be the second year that bowling's been in place. And so we had a couple parents contact us with interest, so we started to look at bowling. And so we talked about what all was entailed with bowling, the costs associated with that. A lot of times people don't understand how much cost is associated with an activity. Bowling is actually fairly reasonably priced for as far as an activity is concerned. Rather than having buses, we can probably use vans and things like that. The number of athletes or athletes that would be involved is smaller than, let's say, your basketball, football, volleyball teams. But there's still costs associated with it. You still have to hire coaches. You still have to provide some form of transportation. You have to have uniforms and then all the materials. You have to do facility rentals. You need to have a site to go to. And so there are some costs associated with it. And the other thing that we were interested in is what's the interest, the long-term interest of our student body. And so at the conclusion of the meeting, no decision to recommend this for the full board approval was made. What we wanted to get, or what the committee wanted, was more information. So our activities director, Mr. Nichols, has started a survey and is starting to ask students about their interests. And again, we're looking for how do our freshmen feel, incoming freshmen feel about participation? What type of numbers are we really talking about? Are we going to be able to field a full team? And of those kids that are interested, how many of those kids that say they would do bowling are going to leave another activity that they're already participating in? So another thing you don't want to do when you bring in a new activity is damage an existing activity that's in place. So you don't really want to take athletes from the wrestling team or the basketball team or the swim team to start a new activity. Well, if that feedback that we get from the students is, I'm actually not doing anything right now and this would get me involved, now that will be really encouraging information. So that's kind of what we're looking for. And then we're going to be meeting again in the next month to see what the results of that survey is. And maybe, I'm not saying that this will happen, but maybe put a recommendation for the board to approve it for the 24-25 school year. It might not happen. It might not. I think bowling's in our future. I just don't know when. It might be a few years. There were some other issues. You know, what are the youth programs like in the community, things like that. So you kind of want to create, you know, like with basketball, we have kids playing basketball in the elementary grades competitively. When you add a program, you kind of want to see that type of thing all the way down to the young folks, so that by the time they get to the high school, you're putting a competitive team out there as well. So anyway, that was part of that. And then we also talked about the wet bulb, which is a device we use to protect athletes in the heat of the summer or the late spring. It measures temperature and humidity. We talked about our AED locations, and we have AEDs for cardiac arrests in all of our facilities. We even actually have portable ones that we send with our softball teams and our tennis teams to other locations. We talked about emergency action and life-saving plans and coaching certifications as well. And one other thing we spent some time talking about at a little bit of length was respecting referees. There's a shortage across the state of referees, and one of the reasons for that is people have always been hard on refs a little bit, but it seems that maybe that's a growing trend and it's becoming a little bit more aggressive than it has in the past. And what we want to always make sure that we do, we don't always agree with the referee's call. And I can imagine myself out there, I've done some reffing myself. You know, sometimes you do make mistakes, but you never want to. So we need to keep that in mind as an audience or as a supportive crowd that, we're not happy with everything that's called out on the field, but those folks are really trying their best to do the best job they can, and we really need to do a lot to support them. Otherwise, you end up with a very small number of referees, and you end up playing varsity football games on a midday Saturday, or you can only do basketball tournaments. You don't have home games like you used to. So I have a concern there, and we need to make sure we treat our refs with respect. And that would conclude that activities committee meeting.
All right. Superintendent's comments?
Yeah, I started off the meeting last night with my report on school improvement. School improvement is a continuous process in McCook Public Schools and across the state of Nebraska. I wanted to let the board know that next year is our year 5 in our rotation, which means that we will be visited by an external team of educators from across the state. Probably in March, February of next year, I'm going to say, we'll probably be visited by this group of educators. And they're going to go and look at all the things that we do, what we do for professional development. They're going to look at our mission and vision. They're going to look at our academics. They're going to look at our leadership and what we do to build leadership skills and staff. They're going to look at our action plans. They're going to try to do an assessment of how well people in the community know or are familiar with our action plan. And I wanted to make sure the board was aware of that. Now, this is something that we've been working on for a number of years, so we're really fully kind of prepared for this. One of the things I thought was interesting is the NDE director of school improvement is actually contacted me and said he wants to come out to McCook. And it's a compliment. He wants to come out here because he's heard really good things about McCook Public Schools and he wants to see what's going on. The other piece of that is it makes you a little bit nervous. So he'll be visiting with the team and be giving us some of his critiques and praise at the same time. So this is going to be quite an event for us, and I don't know that we've ever had that before in McCook. And then I also talked a little bit about we do have a rubric that we use to evaluate our own school improvement process that was created by the Department of Education several decades ago. And we've been using it ever since I've been here, and it's changing. So this will be this year and next year, the last 2 years we'll ever use this rubric, but it's been I believe it's a really good tool on our school improvement team that includes teachers and administrators and parents from within the community reviewed that with us, and the feedback on our own rubric is very, very high. There are a couple things we feel like we need to improve, but it looks like we're pretty prepared for this visitation. The other thing I talked about was state assessments are going on right now at the elementaries and junior high. They're really taking off this week. The high school's pretty much done with the ACT and pre-ACT. There's a few kids that haven't taken it yet, and so because they had an activity or they were ill the day we gave it to all the students, so just some makeup tests at the high school. But in the next 2 weeks, we'll put the state assessments in the rearview mirror. Also, I gave a little bit of report on the junior high and high school building project. Over the past several weeks, Mr. Gross, have visited with representatives from Samson Construction and W Design. And what we've really been focusing on in these meetings is trying to get the costs of the project and to a point where we feel the board is comfortable putting it before the community for a bond election. And so right now, where it stands, we feel that the costs are too high to do that. And so we want to try to bring those down as much as we can while still maintaining the core goals of the construction project. I think this has gone very, very well, the process is. And so when we talk about reducing costs, sometimes you think, well, they're going to have to cut parts of the building off. We're not to that points yet, but materials, we're talking about materials, what types of floorings, what types of ceilings, what types of are you doing cinder block, are you doing drywall with studs? So these are all discussions that help. And then also, how do you insure the project? I mean, it's amazing the difference between what it costs for us to insure the construction project versus the construction company. It's like it's close to $500,000 cheaper for us to use our insurance company. So looking for those types of ways to try to bring the costs to where we kind of projected from the beginning, where we felt comfortable presenting to the community, we need to get to that point. And I think we're going to make it, but I told the board last night that there's no guarantee. So if we don't call for a bond in May, it probably means we're going to have to do some more reworking and probably postpone that bond election off until maybe November or something like that. But you know what? It's a good process, and it's important that we are cost conscious when we go through this process of providing our kids with a great academic environment. And then the last thing I reported on for the board was the safety grant. I was supposed to find out on April 3rd, but I think almost every school in the state of Nebraska applied for that grant. And so I was a little skeptical when I saw that they're going to have that out to us by then. And that skepticism was accurate. And so I haven't heard yet, and I don't know when I will. They haven't even started to review our grant application yet. So hopefully they get to that, and I can report in May to the board whether we did or did not receive it. And that's all of my comments.
Business manager comments.
Jeff talked about 13,000 meals served last month, so that's quite a few meals. One of the things that's always important that Jeff presents is we are on track with our school budget for the year. We have we're at about 58% through the year, financial year. We're about 57% with revenues, expenditures. But we have some big HVAC bills that we haven't paid yet. So he's just kind of given this could be a year where we might see a little bit in the red with our expenditures. I'm not saying that for sure yet because you have to have some other things come through and see what those final bills are. But HVAC has really been expensive this year. If you remember back in February, I think it was January actually, when we had that cold event, we had several very expensive air handler units. They froze up on us. And so some of that is an insurance claim, but not all of it. And copper tubing and the equipment that we're talking about, a single air handling unit's around $25,000. Now, don't quote me on that if I'm wrong. Mr. Gross is in his office going, no, that's not. But they're expensive, and we lost several of them, and we've been trying to, you know, kind of Band-Aid that throughout the rest of the year, but we're going to have to replace them this summer, and it's going to be very expensive. And so we needed to prepare the board for that. Unfortunately, weather does impact. Like the city had their roof ripped off. I mean, weather plays an impact on our budgets. Talked about the gym floor project. I've had an opportunity to go in there. The old gym floor has been ripped out. They scraped off the top layer of concrete, which was quite a task for the company coming in. Two-thirds of it or three-quarters of it went very, very smoothly, and then that final quarter, of course, hadn't had a pre-treatment underneath it, and they had to use jackhammers. It was a real issue to work through. But they're putting down 2x4s and preparing for the, I don't know what you call them. I'd say it's like a subfloor to a performance floor. But they have 2x4s that sleepers go on top of, and then on top of those sleepers will go some, you know, compressed board, and then there'll be maple on the very top. And so that project's moving along. Hopefully, you know, maybe in a month to 6 weeks that we can take a look at that new floor. I don't know if it'll be painted by then, but that floor might be in, and we can get our first glance of what that looks like with all of it. And then also we talked about valves at the elementary school. The elementary school, even though it's our newest building in the district, it's now 2 decades old, and we have some valves for water and also for HVAC. Some of that stuff needs to be replaced, and so he talked a little bit about those valves being replaced. And then that's about it.
Board member comments?
No board member comments last night.
Okay. New business. Had a couple of items there.
Yeah, we did. We started off new business with the approval. Talked a little bit about this already with our committee meetings, but approve the policy package 1000, community relations, as presented to the Board of Education. And then, of course, when you are entering in a series of new policies, you actually have to remove the old policies that they're replacing. So there was a number of old policies that were taken out at the same time. So that's what that action item had to do with, and that was approved last night.
Accepted a donation for the music department.
Yeah, really appreciate Suzanne Stewart and the gift in her memory of her mother and Jean Sainert and the amount of $1,000 for the music department with gratitude. Really appreciate those types of gifts make a difference for our kids directly. You know, we try to use those funds to help enhance their experiences, to enhance our programs. So those are very much appreciated. $1,000 is a lot of money for our music program. So we really appreciate that gift. Following that, we approved the district surplus sale. And so last year, I don't know if you attended it, Rich, but we had a kind of a great big garage sale. We had collected
I remember that though.
A yeah. lot of stuff. And so we did a big, big sale, brought folks into the McCook Learning Center, which is the old Armory building, and sold, I would say, almost all of it. Not quite all of it, but almost all of it. And I think some people got some really good deals on items that we just didn't need anymore. And we were able to use those dollars to help us purchase new materials for the school. And so it worked out really well. Well, we won't have a big sale like that because it takes a little while to collect that type of surplus. But we will have a few things coming up in the year that folks can watch out for. We're going to try to post it out there for folks. I know there's new like social media sites you can use to post these things. And some of these things will be also closed bid requests. Like I know we have two older buses that we would like to depart from. You know, we just don't want to put our kids on the road, you know, on these long trips in them anymore. So a couple of, yeah, I think they're the yellow route type buses. So, and we're getting a couple of, not we get bought a couple of used ones with far less miles on them. So that's coming up. There might be a few other items like that come up. So just pay attention to that. But that was also approved last night. And then our last action, we didn't actually have any resignations last night. And so we're very, very, very happy to say that.
Are you anticipating in the next month or something like that, some new signing? Are you looking for new teachers still?
We're in a pretty good spot right now. I would like to hire an additional industrial technologies teacher because that would just to build that program more. I'm kind of projecting, hoping that at some point we have, with that new junior high building and the high school remodel, well, that junior high building contains our industrial tech department. And what we envision is a very, very nice, advanced industrial tech career and technical education facility that we see having three industrial tech teachers in, or two industrial tech and two ag teachers in, something along those lines, because we really feel like this is the way the economy is going. This is what kids need, and actually what kids are wanting right now for their future. So we're looking for that. Mm-hmm. And we're also looking for probably for special education. We don't have necessarily a vacancy, but we're looking to increase our numbers there. As we see in the next year or two, we're going to lose some special education teachers. Very hard to fill those positions. So we're trying to act a little preemptively and looking for SPED folks.
We are two positive comments.
Yeah, we start off our positive comments with Mr. Barger, Scott Barger. He said it was great to see the kids come in and present their work to the Board of Education. Again, very impressed with what our students are doing. I know the whole community, if they were there, they would be very impressed with what they're seeing. And thanks to the elementary school and Mr. Borland and Mr. Bedner for purchasing the Eclipse sunglasses. And it was worth the expense. They're pretty cheap, but it was worth the expense and the experience for those kids to partake. You know, we had 2017 where most of the rest of our students across the district had an opportunity to do that. It was nice to see that our younger kids that weren't here at that time also have had that opportunity to see that eclipse. Even though it wasn't a full eclipse, it was still pretty cool. Tom talked about the partnerships. One of the things that the kids from Mr. Jedlicki's class, industrial class, talked about, each one of those students used the CNC router. And so Tom realized that, or remembered that, the McCook Community Foundation helped us buy that CNC router. It's a very expensive piece of equipment. And without those types of partnerships, we might have to do without some of these really fancy pieces of technology that enable our students to do amazing projects. So a big shout out to our community partners, obviously to McCook Community Foundation for their support. Teresa wanted to thank the paraprofessionals for the work that they do to help our students succeed in the school system. She knows paraprofessional week, I think, was last week, she stated. And so I really appreciate those folks and what they do. They take on some very difficult jobs and they do great work. McPherson wanted to talk about the new app that we put out probably about 6 weeks ago, and really appreciates the information he gets right away from the school. So that stuff gets pushed out from the school, and then he gets it right away on his app, and he feels like now he always knows what's going on. So that's worked really well. And also there's a journalism intern program with multiple community entities involved with it, and that the school's going to most likely be part of that process as well. Langan wanted to thank the elementary schools for the work they did with the Eclipse. It's great to see the kids out there experiencing that. Also, he wanted to say that it's great to see the kids' work that we saw from our presentations today. It's always fun to see what our kids are actually doing in the classrooms. They are doing amazing things. Gross wanted to talk about Trish Willis, who is our registrar at the high school. We have a federal government report called the CDC report, and it's overly complicated. This is her first time having to do it. We do it every other year, and it's a lot of work, but she learned how to do it, and it was very stressful, but she did a great job with it. And we really never benefit from that report. It's just information for the federal government. Brad Hayes wanted to congratulate McCook Junior High students and Mr. Osten for the work that they've been doing. They've been recognized for their work. And there's some kids that Mr. Osten was supporting them. Zoe Allen, let me see if I can get the whole thing here. I think I have it here. Competition, students parts, three rounds. All right, I'm trying to find it here. Academic competition. So the regional academic competition, and here are the names. I don't want to miss anybody here. Zoe Allen for geography, Kennedy Finchner with science, Xander Garneau, first place in science, Chase Whitehead, second place in science, third in history, seventh grade Jackson Evans, first in science and history, Brighton Hancock in science and history. Emil Ryan came third place in science, and Kinsey Rhodes and Ty Schaefer for strong determination awards and effort throughout the day. So appreciate those kids that competed with Mr. Osten in the regional academic competition. And then also, Brad, wanted to thank Matt Weimers and the grant he helped write for the school. We're putting in a new, putting on new surface this summer. Mm-hmm. And then I want to thank Mrs. Goodenberger and the students. And Mrs. Peterman, Art Month was last month. Mrs. Goodenberger had some students present work before the Board of Education last night.
A lot of things going on.
I'm sorry, I went on long.
Oh, you're fine. No problem. No problem at all. Busy month of April for you. Next meeting, May
13th.
May 13th, because graduation is
the 10th.
So, okay, the Monday after the Friday graduation.
Right, huh? Yes, wow. Monday after the Friday graduation.
Wow, those seniors are counting the days, aren't they?
Oh, I think they're very upset that their time at MPS is coming to an end.
It's probably split. Yeah, 50-50.
Actually, that's probably true. They probably
you're sad,
are,
but you're thinking
they're excited and sad. Probably mostly excited.
Yeah, moving on to bigger and better things
that's
in college.
Right. Yep.
Thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you.